All right, so this is the Very Manic Jimmy Cab Show, taped to broadcast. I have Mike Nider of Blast. Dude, the last time that I saw Blast play, I believe was either late 85 or 1986 at the Anti-Club.
Was it an SST barbecue or...
You know, it had to be an SST event because all the bands that were playing that were SST bands. It was SWA, Sacred Trust, you know, but the Anti-Club.
And Blast and Londell and Swat.
Yeah, man. I mean, it was a long time ago.
Chuck Mann and the Barbecue. Chuckowski.
Yeah, one of the things that I remember most vividly about that show was just the power of Blast. Now, here we are. Jesus, what is it? 2 decades later, man?
Shoot, I think so. Yeah.
I don't even know where to begin with this interview. The only thing that I want to say is that I'm glad you guys are doing what you're doing now.
Right on, man. Thanks. Appreciate that.
Let me start off by asking you.
A couple part twos or part threes of this interview.
Let me start off by asking you. It is 2013. I don't know how you feel about revealing, you know, what we go through now that at the age that we're at. But you're playing to a whole new audience, and then you're going to bring out the fossils like us. How do you feel about this new audience that has embraced Blast and your loyal old audience that is coming out for this show, man?
Oh, man, it's awesome. It's such a great thing to be able to do this again and have this opportunity. And the only thing we can change is play it a little earlier and get home on time. it's great. It's cool. We feel the same way as we did. You know, back in the 80s when we played, it's really a new lineup and not much different as far as our feeling. You know, it's sounding better than ever actually right now. It's a great opportunity and we're stoked about it. We're getting a lot of good shows, you know, overseas, and we never had that opportunity. So we're doing a lot of things we wish we could have done back in the day and we didn't. So it's been great.
Are you amazed now, though, that the band is finally getting the recognition, especially because you influenced so many bands then, but are you glad now to be recognized as an influential band that created, in some cases, and helped really push the envelope with this genre that we're into now?
Yeah, it is what it is, and we're all, you know, pumped about it, and hopefully we can do this more and more and more. But we've met so many great people during this whole thing, and a lot of them are actually the bands that exist now, and such, you know, great people. And as, like, back when we played, and like Fenders and Long Beach and stuff, it wasn't, you know, you couldn't really put a label on Blast. It wasn't hardcore, punk, you know, rock, whatever. It was just fucking heavy, and we did our own thing. And I think that's why longevity of this, you know, is still present.
I think one of the things that's very important that we need to mention is that back then at what we called the scene, there was a lot more freedom to really incorporate whatever you were listening. If you were listening to Sabbath and you were listening to Discharge and you're writing your own shit, there wasn't any markability in it. So you had the musical expression to do what you wanted to do. One of the things that was really, really interesting about Blast early on was just the power, dude. The rage and the power. And coming from Santa Cruz, do you think that had a lot to do with it? Because you were outside of like the Hollywood punk scene and that whole thing. Or talk to me a little bit about back then.
Well, we came from surfing and skating and, you know, all that aggression and energy. You know, we just kind of evolved into playing music. And, you know, fortunately, we grew up when we did and had just the best time in music ever. And, you know, we were so aggressive with skating and surfing and developing into the Blast. Wherever it was, it probably would have been the same, I'd imagine. But the bands that influenced us and the skating and surfing that influenced us and all the people we knew and met, and we kind of knew what we wanted to do, you know. We just wanted to do this literal rock. is, you know, kind of laugh about it sometimes, talking to Cliff. It's like, sometimes, man, it's like, man, we didn't enjoy it. We were so serious and literal. We just fucking wanted to kill. And it's, we thought, oh, you know, try to enjoy it this time. We start playing. And we're like, man, this is a feeling. It's not even like, you know, let's write this down and learn music and do this thing. It's just nothing like that. It's only a feeling. And like, we almost like forgot when you don't play and then you start playing. And it's like, you know, can we do this again? And we start playing. And it's like, totally, man. It's just a feeling.
Yeah.
So that's what Blast, you know, whatever. I'm not going to say it's different for everybody else. Everyone else has their own story. The Blast thing, it's a full feeling. And it's fucking heavy. You know, our hearts, that's what matters to us, man.
I think one of the important things that needs to be also mentioned is the fact that the sincere emotion, man. I mean, there wasn't any money then. God knows there wasn't any money then. And it, so if you had the dedication, to do it, man, and hit the road, I mean, it was a big sacrifice. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, you know, it was hard. It was really hard. You know, bands, you know, it can sort of more like bands worked their asses off to help record labels, you know, pull it off with them. It was more like a team thing, where now everything's more accessible. It's a little different, but
yeah.
Back then, you worked your ass off, and, you know, we were on SST, so you're raising even more label situation there, so it was cool.
Yeah, man, there wasn't any internet, and there wasn't any Decibel magazines, and none of that shit going on back then, man. It was all underground.
No cell phones either, you gotta say that.
Yeah, no cell phones. I think we're, like, totally, like, revealing our age. Let's talk about when you reunited with Cliff, and then we'll get into Blood, which is an amazing story in itself. Now, the band broke up in 1990, correct?
Yeah, just dismantled.
And then you guys went off and you did your own things. I mean, you know, Gargantua and Dusted Angel, and then you did your stuff as well. So you guys stayed active. It wasn't like you guys just, you know, conformed to, you know, the normal day, everyday life. You guys stayed active playing different types of music. When you got back together to play Blasto, you mentioned briefly, were you guys nervous at all? Because, I mean, those albums are so influential, and they're so timeless, and they're so protected. And what I mean by that is people cherish those records so much. Were you in any way, shape, or form nervous to, like, tarnish that history?
No, not at all. We, like I said, it's all a feeling, and it's our trip. And, you know, it's something that if we felt like it was half-assed, we definitely wouldn't fucking do it.
Yeah.
We're serious about what we do, and if we weren't feeling it, we wouldn't do it. But as far as having that, you know, aggressive, violent feeling of sincerity for Blast, if that's not there, we wouldn't do it. And it's totally there.
Yeah, right on, man. Now, let's talk about the lost tapes, because this is what goes into Blood. So, the story goes is that you're rumbling through, I guess, a storage bin, and you found some old, unreleased material?
Yeah, we have a few different ones, and, you know, we found this unreleased material that we had, which was, you know, the same, same era as it's in my blood, and William Duvall came out, he was with us for a year or so, and not exact on the time, but that's what we, you know, drummed up and found. And, you know, we kind of, all of us kind of went through a bunch of personal situations where we had to move and all that good stuff, so everything kind of got lost through all the shuffle, and someone had this, someone had that, and we've, you know, this is the tape that, you know, surfaced, so we're like, you know, sitting on it and stuff, and I've been working with Greg Anderson for like a decade with t-shirts and stuff with my company, Rise, and, you know, we always talk about stuff, and he just sucks in that shit down to me, let's check it out, and he cleans it up and sent it to Brad Bowright and had him up, and he Seattle, Washington. Check it out, throw it on the reel-to-reel. And
wow.
It was really, really dirty. So we thought, oh, okay, you know, just toss it. This ain't going to work. It's trash. We blew it, whatever. And Greg said, well, let's try one more thing. Let's bake it. So, you know, Brad went up there and baked it. And all of a sudden, you know, I get this email from Greg saying, man, this thing is baked and it works.
Wow.
Everything is just there. So, but most of the junky 80s crap got, you know, destroyed. And then that's what happened with the tapes. So, you know, they survived, which was a miracle. Like, wow, man.
Yeah, literally.
Luckier than hell, man. So, yeah, that's what happened. And we have our tapes.
Wow, and so that is what resulted in what is being released now as Blood, correct?
Correct, yeah, that's what...
What a testament, dude, wow.
Yeah, it was 26 years, pretty much to the day, man.
Oh, my God.
26 years, that's it survived. And, you know, Greg told Dave Grohl about it. He's like, bring this shit over.
Dude, he's a multimillionaire. He's a state-of-the-art studio.
Well, you know, he's the best. This is why I got my studio, to do stuff like this. And he was just stoked. He pulled that, you know, tape over to 606. And
wow.
He worked on it for about a day and called us out and said, fuck, get down here, man. Check this out. And so we came down for a week and, you know, he treated us so good. We've never been treated that well ever in our band. And it was just a bitching thing. You know, I can thank him enough, him and Greg, for doing that because we just had a great time. By the end of the week, we were all just kind of, jaws were hanging and practicing kind of like 3D rock again, you know, just
yeah.
Crazy. Who gets an opportunity like that? Never do. Like, you have this tape from the 80s and you can tweak it now to make it what you really want it to be now. So it was fucking just bitching.
You know, what's amazing about that is, again, like you mentioned, a lot of people aren't aware of this. You know, you mentioned William Duvall. He's the frontman now for Alice in Chains, but, I mean, he jammed out with you for a bit, correct?
Yeah, that was the other part of the story, and he was it's in my blood. He wasn't there, you know, his guitar tracks and stuff on that recording weren't there, so to find this one, you know, he jammed out with us for a few years, and recorded Blood with us, so to have his guitar tracks on there and, you know, crank the shit out of those was super great.
Yeah, man. I mean, really, what a testament, and indeed, it's a great story of, you know, for lifers like myself and for this new generation. Now, how do you like the reaction you've been getting with the release of that?
It seems, you know, as far as I could tell, it's just been fucking great.
I mean, man.
I think everyone, you know, you get these reissues and you're kind of like, oh, you know, whatever. But once you actually listen to Blood, you just kind of can't believe it sounds so good, you know?
Yeah.
Who could say it doesn't? You know, it's pretty crazy. He did an amazing job. It's crazy.
It just really leaves you speechless in a way because it captures that moment in time so perfectly, but it's so relevant now. What I mean by that is there's so many bands that are coming out of the woodworks that, for whatever reason, they're trying to cash in on this new, you know, market or whatever that's out with these kids. But then bands like yourselves, man, that kept it true, that just have been real, and just this miracle, dude. I mean, because, like, as you know... You know, to last that much time stored away, dude, and it's incredible.
Totally, it's crazy. That's the thing too. I mean, just to be able to pull that off is crazy in the first place, and then to have all these great people showing some respect and stoked, and it's just, I can't tell you, it's just badass. It's really cool.
All right, well, let's talk about now because this is even more interesting. So now, you know, you have come together with Cliff, and you've incorporated some new blood so you could have the Blast lineup play live. You have Nick Oliveri, who's fucking amazing, dude.
Yeah, totally.
And then how do you, I don't want to, is it Haas?
Haas Wright.
Okay, Haas Wright on drums, who's known for his own contributions as well. I think he played in, didn't he play with Nick?
Yeah, he played in the a long time ago, and then he plays in Mondo Generator.
Yeah, Mondo Generator. These kids and people like myself are going to see you play the stage, obviously, December 28th, the Observatory, Santa Ana. That's with Neurosis, Yob, and Helen Mooney. In San Francisco, the following day, you're playing the Regency Ballroom with Neurosis, which is the heavy of the heavy, Yob, and The Body. Are you looking forward to be playing this material live, man?
Oh, totally. We're stoked about it. You know, practice, we've been jamming out, and just fucking killing it, and we're feeling it. And, you know, Hoss just, you know, beating the drums big time, and Nick is just destroying it. So we're just feeling really good about this whole thing.
Fuck yeah, man.
And, you know, they're stoked, and we're stoked. And hopefully, yeah, everyone will just dig it and enjoy it with us, man.
Yeah, now you're coming back to Los Angeles January 10th. You're going to be playing The Echo. That's with Nails 16 and The Shrine. My God, you're playing some amazing shows, dude. Are you? You mentioned Europe. You're going off to Europe?
Right on, yeah. We're going to, as far as I know, the thing that's confirmed is Hellfest in France, June 21st. So that's, I don't know if you've seen that lineup yet, but it's crazy. It's like Aerosmith and Sabbath and Slayer and Soundgarden, Monster Match, tons of bands. It's insane.
I'm telling you, dude, like, who would have thought back, like, in 1985 that, like, you know, like, Dave Grohl would be jamming out with Paul McCartney. You guys are playing with Sabbath and Aerosmith. I'm glad to you know, to see it, but, I mean, again, I'm tripping out, man. But what I'm really glad about is that Blood, which is on Southern Lord Records, which you mentioned, Greg Anderson's label. That's a great label in itself.
Totally.
Dude. I don't even know what to say other than I'm really looking forward to seeing you play when you're here in Los Angeles. And I got to tell you, man, timeless, dude. Just timeless.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. It's cool. I hope you all have fun with us because we're going to fucking have some fun, man.
Yeah, you're going to get to see 40-year-olds fucking fuck up their lower lumbar jumping off the stage, man. trying to do their best Fender's fucking stage diving attempts, you know?
Totally.
Mike Dieter, Mike Dieter, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to me, bro.
Well, Jimmy, man, I appreciate it.
No worries, brother. Thank you.
Thank you.